In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We'll continue with our meditations on the sacrament of confession. Today being Judgment Sunday, also, as we more often like to call it, Meat Fair Sunday, because it's the last day before we begin to cut out meat from our diet, and so we celebrate it with a big fanfare of meat. But today, what I want to focus on is to present a teaching on confession, or rather, more like a meditation on what goes on during the sacrament of confession, spiritually speaking, not just practically speaking. Each sacrament that Jesus Christ has given to the church is a way that Christ gives himself to us. He uses visible means to give himself invisibly. A visible means to give an invisible grace. Each of the main sacraments of the church, the seven that we probably all remember from Sunday school or from our catechism, has a way that it gives Christ. In baptism, it's the bestowal of Christ as the crucified and resurrected defeater of death, sin, and the devil that is put on to the one who is baptized. In chrismation, it is the bestowal of the Holy Spirit whom Christ has sent to his disciples. In communion, it is Jesus Christ in total, his truly sanctifying body and blood. In unction, it is Christ that comes to us as the divine physician, applying the medicinal balm that's needed for our salvation when we are in dire straits. In matrimony, the groom and the bride are established as a living, iconic relationship of Jesus Christ with his bride, the church. In ordination, it is the high priesthood of Christ himself that is offered to the ordinand, the one kneeling before his own altar, to be the one that offers the sacrifices for the people to the Father in heaven, and also as the sacrificial lamb himself is given. And in the sacrament of confession, we stand before Jesus Christ as the merciful judge. And he comes to us by the end of that confession again, as the divine physician of our souls. If we don't experience Christ in each one of these aspects through the sacraments that he has given to us, we're missing something of the experience of Jesus Christ himself. And for most of these sacraments, we need them over and over and over again. We need them often. Because we so easily are pulled away by the world, we forget who Christ really is and what he has defeated and given to us. And so the church offers them often to us. It keeps them open to us so that we can return to Christ and experience him in full. And the passage that we've heard today is a reminder that we must know Christ as the judge right now, in order to know him as the merciful one also right now and in the age to come. If we delay, then we will never really know him in total at all. If we don't, then we will realize quicker than an instant as he comes in glory and sits on his throne that we never actually knew him. It is a scary passage, a sobering passage that we have heard today. But we must know Christ as the merciful judge. Nobody comes before the throne of God, just like nobody comes to the court, in complete ignorance of why they are there. Any of us who have ever even gotten a traffic ticket and have had to go to court know this. Unfortunately, I know this intimately. You come, you go, the judge says, this is what you're guilty of. Do you agree or not? You say yes, you pay your ticket, or you say no, and you fight it, and you get all in turmoil. But you always know why you're there, right? No one shows up in complete ignorance. In confession, it's the same. It's only that we need to self-examine as the first step, not the cop giving us the ticket. We self-examine, we see our sins, we see our passions, we see our faults as we look within and we ask ourselves questions to examine our soul and our actions. And then we're able to run to Christ and state our guilt or our faulty desire, and we ask for mercy from the merciful judge. Our trial or our time in court is one that we have the opportunity to submit ourselves to now. We must not wait until there is nothing more that we can do. No more that we can ask for mercy, only the realization that we didn't know. We didn't know Christ. But here's the difference. Christ is our judge, but we are our own prosecution. We come stating our guilt, knowing what the character of the judge is. He is consistent in his mercy. And all that he wants of us is to know that we have sins of which we are guilty, and that we have resolved ourselves to fight them, to change. And when we do that, this judge expunges all of it from the record. It would be very crazy for this policy to be one that an earthly judge always holds. But this is exactly how our God acts toward us in the sacrament of confession. Judgment is flipped on its head to be the means of offering mercy instead of the means of offering condemnation. We come to Jesus knowing that he has given us this sacrament to experience him in that very way. To use another court imagery, it's a lot more like my experience of a different judge. A judge who probably more often in his family court had to deal with the turmoil of family life and families being broken. But occasionally, he gets a glorious day where he gets to make a new family in the legal realm. He has a positive interaction as a judge. He takes a man and a woman, a couple, and a child, and he, instead, when he puts down the gavel, he declares them to have always been a family, to rewrite, to expunge, to say this is how it has always been. This is the way of our merciful judge, a lot like what earthly judges only have a few moments or a few times that may happen. Instead of being ones who often have to mete out some form of punishment. But our God, when we come to confession, always acts in this way, uniting a lost child, a child who has lost their way, with himself, even. That's what occurs in a confession. I prepare my petition to the compassionate and merciful judge, state where I am guilty, state where I know that I need my deeds to be expunged from the record. And the sacramental prayers that conclude a confession, there's two of them in our tradition, and the first prayer is one that does state a certain dogmatic belief of the church, that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles and to their successors through the priesthood that very power to loose and to bind sins, to wash away sins from the record for the one who has come asking for that. This is the main reason that there is a sacramental confession before a priest, and not just my own personal feeling of guilt, and maybe even speaking it before even an icon of Christ in the privacy of my home. No, the main reason is because Christ gave so that we can experience as a community this expunging of the sins and the washing away of them from our record. But the second prayer, the absolution prayer of the Antiochian tradition at least, there are many others, emphasizes the necessity of stating and acknowledging my sins before God and before His appointed ones as the key element of experiencing God's forgiveness through several scriptural recollections that are listed in the absolution prayer. David is mentioned as confessing before the prophet Nathan for his adultery and murder. Peter is mentioned because he wept bitterly for his denial of knowing Christ after meeting his eyes in the courtyard before his crucifixion. The sinful woman in tears is crying at Christ's feet, acknowledging her sins and knowing him to be the one who will heal her. The publican is mentioned prostrating before God in the temple, stating his unworthiness to raise his eyes to this merciful God. And the parable of the prodigal son that we heard last week is the last of these scriptural recollections. It's the one of the son returning to his father and admitting how he sinned against him as a son. And the father takes him back into his home. These are the key elements of confession, to know Christ as the merciful judge. When we state our sins before a priest, any priest with the blessing to hear a confession, he stands as a witness of this admission of guilt. And the penitent stands before Christ. The priest stands just as a witness. Knowing, when the penitent stands before Christ, they know Christ as judge already for the actions and the violations that they have already committed. They admit their guilt before God, and the priest standing as the witness offers the mercy of God to this penitent person. That person who is making the confession is filled with contrition for these betrayals, these denials that happen through their sins. And the priest stands like the Levitical priests of the Old Testament, stood to receive the sacrificial lambs of the people. The priest examined these lambs. He washed those lambs and made the offering for them so that those people would have the benefit of grace. And so we offer ourselves to God in the confessional, like those lambs of the Old Testament. Our contrition is what is needed to receive mercy. If we are proud or bold or unbending, or God forbid, even nearly planning to commit the sin again, then mercy is not possible to apply because we haven't yet been our own prosecution. This is the fundamental. We need to know that we are sinners and God's mercy is open to us. If we have that kind of resolve to struggle against repeating those sins, then the priest who stands mainly as a witness is also there to help prepare ourselves for the sacrifice at the altar. The priest does not stand as the judge, but he does have a critical role to be the witness, to prepare, and to offer Christ's washing away of sins, to make that penitent ready to become worthy of offering and to partake of the Lamb of God on the altar. All priests need to make our own confessions. No Christian is above confessing before a priest, not even priests, because we all must know the whole of Christ in the sacraments. No man lives and sins not. No priest can give himself absolution, nor give his own blessing to himself, nor be his own spiritual father and confessor. I'm sure that would lead to all sorts of terrible things. Perhaps the priest helps you during the confession and gives you a means to heal the wounds of the sin. Maybe he offers some spiritual practices, some advice to fight against those sins that you have stated in your guilt before God. And these spiritual practices are called epitimia in our church. And this is when the merciful judge, Jesus Christ, takes off the mantle of the judge and puts on the cloak of the divine physician. And he starts to apply the medicine that is needed for the soul and its wounds. And when this happens, there is the washing that renews the purity given to every Christian at their baptism. This is the absolution prayer that we have talked about just earlier, mentioning all of these scriptural recollections, where Jesus Christ gives that to you through the priest. And it is as though we are emerging again from the baptismal waters. This is how we come to know ourselves, or better, within ourselves, Jesus Christ's mercy that's applied from the depths of his merciful being to myself and to each of you. In the whole of the sacrament of confession, Christ comes to the penitent as high priest, as merciful judge, and the divine physician to make us new again by his own hands. So on this Judgment Sunday, we are reminded of the importance of knowing Christ now, obtaining his mercy now, while we have our time, while we have time to go deep into that mercy and to be changed in great love for him. Because as we are reminded, we don't know the hour or the day when all the time will be up. And in that instant where the Son of Man comes in his glory, we will know what we did with our time. And so Christ offers us the sacrament of confession so that we can know him now as the merciful judge and not just as the judge who sees what we have done and we have nothing to offer. And we do not know him in total. So may our great God and Savior Jesus Christ have mercy on us all as we prepare our hearts and our souls 1 week out from the beginning of Great and Holy Lent, the great season of repentance and growth in Christ given to us. Amen.